Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, March 8th, 2016. And as usual, we'd like to thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye.
And here are our top stories this evening.
The world commemorates International Women's Day today with indication that government is taking an active role in achieving gender parity.
For 50-50, with the globe, with the national emphasis also from the ministry about women's participation, which is also step up 50-50. The sky is the limit.
A top ZANU-PF official is dismissed as misleading reports that he has been suspended from the party's youth league.
And the High Court has granted an order authorizing the family of missing pro-democracy activist Itai Dzamara to hold a peaceful march tomorrow.
Our emotions constantly oscillated between hope and despondence. Itai is still missing, and that is heart-rending.
For these stories and much more, stay tuned.
The ZANU-PF National Youth League Executive Committee says it has passed a vote of no confidence on their leader, Peprai Togarepi, and three other national members. Our correspondent Arthur Chigoriwa has more from Chinoyi.
Togarepi, together with Youth League Secretary for Administration Louis Matutu and Sibongile Sibanda, Deputy Secretary for Administration, were stopped from conducting party activities on behalf of the youth late yesterday. The three are accused of not running the youth affairs to their satisfaction, but Togarepi says he is yet to be furnished with information of exactly what transpired at the meeting after he left it to attend to other issues. Togarepi's son, Gabriel, was fired from the ZANU-PF Youth League for allegedly denigrating the First Lady Grace Mugabe last week.
Wherever it is coming from, I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know why. What then instigated them to come up with that decision, I don't know.
Togarepi says the vote of no confidence is now in void since he was not elected but appointed by President Robert Mugabe to lead the youth wing of the ruling party. He says you wait to hear from the appointing authority.
The only person who can deal with me is the appointing authority.
The vote of no confidence shocked many ZANU-PF activists as it comes at a time President Mugabe praised Togarepi for successfully organizing the president's 92nd birthday bash in Mashingo province 2 weeks ago. Conducted for comment, ZANU-PF spokesperson Simon Kayamoyo said he cannot comment before seeing the youth report in connection with the vote of no confidence. Reporting for Studio 7 in Shinoi, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
The High Court has granted an order authorizing the family of missing pro-democracy activist Itai Dzamara to hold a peaceful march tomorrow.
The family approached the High Court after the police barred the planned march, arguing that it would infringe on other people's rights. Family lawyer Kenneth Masie told Studio 7 that Justice Clement Piri granted the order, saying it was the family's constitutional rights to demonstrate peacefully.
He cited that, in terms of the Constitution, in Section 59, there was an unfettered right that was given to the citizens of Zimbabwe to petition and demonstrate. And, the only qualification there was that the demonstration should be peaceful. So basically that's what he insinuated in his judgment.
Family Representative Patson Dzamara told journalists the commemorations are meant to send a message to the government that forced disappearance should not persist in Zimbabwe. He said Zimbabweans, especially young people, must take a stand and make sure that disappearance stop, as anyone can become a victim.
It's time for all youths to rise above partisan politics and indifference, because our future is certainly at stake.
He said people are expected to gather at Africa Unity Square and then march peacefully along Jason Moyo to Rotten Row, Samora Machel, First Street, Nelson Mandela Avenue, and back to Africa Unity Square for prayers. Later in the day, a documentary and song to honor the missing activist, compiled by Patson himself, will be unveiled at the Anglican Cathedral. Patson Zamara said life without his brother has been very difficult and the family is now struggling to cope but remained hopeful that he would return one day.
Our emotions constantly oscillated between hope and despondence. Itai is still missing and that is heart-rending.
Itai's wife, Shefra, said their two kids were equally worried and always asking about their father. Dick Frey, who worked with Itai Zamara in the Occupy Africa Unity Square project, said though work without the political activist had been very difficult, the group had re-strategized and was carrying on with his work. Itai Zamara Trust Chairperson Bishop Anselmo Magaya said it was disappointing that the government had failed to safeguard the life of Zimbabweans. He said developments in the ruling party indicate that no one is safe and some of the people who have been part of the state-alleged atrocities have been isolated.
It is now clear that no one in this country, no matter what office they occupy, is safe. Nobody is safe.
Although the family secured a High Court order compelling the police and other security services to update the family on their investigations, Patson Zamara and the family lawyer Kenneth Masie said police had not provided any lead so far. Police spokesperson, Senior Assistant Commissioner Charity Charamba, could not be reached for comment. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
As the world commemorates International Women's Day, women in Zimbabwe too are pushing for equal opportunities in a male-dominated environment to gain access to resources to find their own projects. One woman seems to be on course to self-empowerment. Nolini Chimbani is an agriculturist based in Goromonzi. She tells Studio 7's Chioniso Jani that growing mushrooms is a profitable business that many women can start.
From the time of seeds to the time of harvest, how long does the process take?
Mushroom takes 21 days flat. Starts flowering within at least 14 days. On day 21, you'll be harvesting. 2 months, if you maintain it well, you'll be still harvesting on a daily basis.
Do you think this is a project that you'd encourage other women to start?
I would, actually, because you can get in your backyard. Agriculture, you should never go with shortcuts. You should always do things by the book. So in order for you to obtain a good harvest and at the same time produce quality, to use accurate resources, meaning that if it's I import my seed from South Africa, it's not regenerated. The ones that we have in Zimbabwe is a bit weak. It's like the fourth generation of seeds. A box of 200 should give you at least 700 to 800, depending if you manage it well and don't take shortcuts.
And as a farmer, what would you say? Do you feel that women have the capacity to...
Funding is lacking more, and our banks' basis to give us money, to give us funding, to get seed and substrates and all sorts of things. But... the capacity that you can go to, the sky's the limit. Because what I have right now, I can't supply half the market demand that is in Zimbabwe for mushrooms. Basically, we mean that by that. And when you try to export it, there are so many channels that you have to go through. And as a woman, and being black on the export market, actually, they press you down. So it's quite difficult. So far, I've trained a few women in my community, and we've got other projects ongoing that they're helping other disadvantaged women in the community.
That was agriculturist Norlene Chimbani speaking with Studio 7 from Goromonzi, Mashonaland East Province. Meanwhile, as the world continues to commemorate International Women's Day today, There are indications that Zimbabwean women are still struggling to occupy top posts in government and other sectors, though over the years the state has tried to promote gender equality. Our correspondent Patricia Mudadigwa reports from Harare.
The theme for this year's day is Planet 50-50 by 2030, Step It Up for Gender Equality. The year 2030 is the deadline for the new Sustainable Development Goals, which include targets on achieving gender equality and empowerment of all women and girls, as well as ensuring inclusive and quality education for all and promoting lifelong learning. In his message to mark the day, United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said, quote, "I remain outraged by the denial of rights to women and girls, but I take heart from the people everywhere who act on the secure knowledge that women's empowerment leads to society's advancement. Let us devote solid funding, courageous advocacy, and unbending political will to achieving gender equality around the world. There is no greater investment in our common future." End quote. Though some Zimbabweans openly marked the day today, some women said there is still a lot to be done for the country to achieve gender equality. They said, "There is need for the nation to step up efforts to fully empower women who have over the years been struggling to get equal opportunities like men." The women commended some efforts being made by President Robert Mugabe in creating better chances for women and girls to advance in society. The country once introduced some affirmative action measures that promoted the enrollment of more girls than boys at state universities and colleges. The impact of this move has not yet been measured. Dr. Nyepudzai Nyangulu, Director of Women in Management, Business and Development Trust, said, while some women in Zimbabwe had managed to break barriers, there was need for women to work together and support each other to occupy top positions in different sectors.
I think where the global emphasis is for 50-50, the national emphasis also from the ministry about women's participation, which is also step up 50-50. The sky is the limit. You know, the barriers are there, the difficulties are there. But guess what? You know, those can be conquered.
Yeah, views were echoed by Margaret Makanana Sangarwe, chairperson of the Zimbabwe Gender Commission and the only woman chairing a state commission in Zimbabwe at the moment.
This is the day where women can actually stand up and say, how far have we gone? And also men to look at themselves and say, how far have we gone in terms of promoting gender equality? We know our world is unequal in terms of gender. So it is important that we have this special day.
Another woman, Priscilla Misairam Mushonga, who has broken barriers of inequality in the political sphere and has served more than 3 terms in parliament, said, as women fight for equality, they should also deal with men who for long have thought power is their preserve.
I think it is a myth to believe that the struggle for against patriarchy is only limited to those women who would be struggling for political positioning. The struggle for women is the same. You know, for this woman who is struggling to provide food on the table for their child, to this woman who is fighting for political space. And like I always say, this is one area in which men band together. And it's not easy to break the barriers, which is why we keep talking about breaking the glass ceiling, shattering the glass ceiling. It is a very difficult thing because it's an area where society has always assumed that it is a male space.
Mushonga urged women not to give up fighting for equality.
This is a struggle that started centuries ago. And I think it doesn't matter how difficult it is. We may not be able to get the benefits of what we're fighting for now, but our great-grandchildren will enjoy those benefits. Just like what we are enjoying now, that recognition that a woman can be in a political space was fought for by other women centuries and centuries ago.
The 8th Parliament of Zimbabwe was expected to set a record in the region and the world over by achieving a 50-50 representation in the 2018 July harmonized elections. However, Some women activists were angered by political parties in the country who failed to field more women candidates, especially when the constitution advocated for such representation in all political offices. ZANU-PF and the Two Movement for Democratic Change formations fielded a combined 90 women compared to 663 males who participated in the elections, a far cry from equal representation. In other sectors, women believe they are still far from occupying top posts, while at the same time, some of them normally fall victim to political violence. One of them is Shefra Zamara, whose husband Itai was allegedly abducted by state security agents for urging President Mugabe to step down for failing to properly run this Zimbabwe. It still remains to be seen whether Zimbabwe will achieve the set gender equality goals set by the United Nations, as the nation has a long way to go in terms of gender parity. Meanwhile, some representatives of embassies in Harare, civic society groups and government today made a 5-kilometer walk to highlight the importance of gender parity. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
Coming up
today in our economy slot, we feature Minister Stembise Nyoni, who talks about small to medium enterprises in Zimbabwe.
But first, we take a look at regional and international news.
Iran has said Tuesday it concluded ballistic missile tests at several sites across the country in order to show its deterrent power and readiness to confront threats.
New political surveys in the United States show support for Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump may be eroding as voters cast ballots today in nominating contestants in four more states.
And a Russian tennis star Maria Sharapova says she failed a drug test at the Australian Open in January due to a substance she has been taking for 10 years for health reasons. Sharapova told a news conference in Los Angeles Monday that the drug meldonium was also only added to the list of banned substances by the World Anti-Doping Agency, WADA, at the start of this year. She said she did not look at an email with an updated ban list before taking the medication. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
The Registrar of Deeds, Companies and Intellectual Property is reported to have registered more than 11,000 companies since the beginning of last year. Depending on the source, Zimbabwe's unemployment rate has been estimated at as low as 4% by the government and as high as 95% by other institutions, including the IMF. According to the Herald newspaper, traders and small businesses accounted for more than 1,000 entities that were registered, followed by mining at 453, manufacturing 392, and others including building, security, agriculture, and civil works. Small to Medium Enterprises Minister Stembise Nyoni tells Studio 7 the figures of companies that were registered shows that employment figures are not as low as it is being assumed.
Yes, that really shows that the SMEs are the economy of Zimbabwe today. And if you compare that with the big companies, you will then find that those companies are real, they are running, and they are employing people. So it is very important for our economies to start recognizing and supporting SMEs. I'm sure you will be aware that in 2013, in July, we launched a World Bank survey that revealed that within 10 years in running my ministry, Zimbabwe had created and supported or helped create 2.8 million entrepreneurs. And those people owned of about 3.5 million enterprises, having created 5.7 million jobs. And what is the amazing also about the SMEs is that they don't die. If they collapse, they will resurrect with something else. They diversify.
You talk of big figures, but when we come to employment levels, we understand employment is almost non-existent in Zimbabwe, according to the statistics.
That is not true. When you evaluate a nation using foreign standard or foreign lenses, of course, you are bound to come with those kinds of answers. Let me just give you an example. What is employment? Employment is when someone leaves their home or within their home, they do productive work that produces goods and services for an income. And a lot of Zimbabweans are not just sitting under trees. A lot of Zimbabweans are working for themselves or for other small businesses. Last week, for instance, I toured SMEs in Gweru and in Bulawayo. Within a small complex, there were about four SMEs in Gweru that were sharing those premises. And within those premises, you'll find that one man was employing 30 people, another woman was employing 10 people, another section was employing 12 people, and so forth. So that when you add that up, those are people that are employed. But the employment bureau will not count those people as employed. They will go to government offices, they will go to big corporates, they will go to institutions like NGOs and churches. They forget that that mentality has changed. The Zimbabwe of yesterday is not the Zimbabwe of today.
What kind of assistance are you giving these small to medium enterprises?
We have about six pillars that we have identified as a ministry that assist SMEs to grow. The first one is education and training, and even schools throughout the country, so that we start teaching entrepreneurship.
And that was a Small to Medium Enterprises Minister Sitembiso Nyoni speaking on the phone with Studio 7 from Harare. For more details on this and other reports, please visit our website www.voazimbabwe.com.
Typhoid threatens Harare residents as four more people are infected by the disease, bringing the number of infected locals to 31, while over 400 suspected cases are being monitored in the city. Harare City Council spokesman Michael Chineme says they have now declared the disease an outbreak, meaning that the council has to mobilize all resources to fight against the outbreak. The disease was first recorded in Glenora, Glenview, Budiriro and Hopley, while two latest cases were detected at Mereki, a popular drinking place in Warren Park D. Chideme tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri they visited Mereki today to inspect the facilities before making any decisions.
Now we are in the outbreak mode, where we are treating the typhoid issue as an outbreak. We have so far 31 confirmed cases of typhoid and over 400 cases of suspected typhoid cases. So we are following up on all those people. But what we have done is we are upping our surveillance programs, our education program, to make sure that every resident of Harare gets the information on typhoid and they are prepared and they know the do's and don'ts to do with typhoid.
Why are the cases continuing to grow? Are they not taking heed of what you are teaching them?
No, the cases are not growing as you are alleging. The rate of growth is actually very low because of the education that we are giving out to the people. Because we are giving people education. And for you to suggest that the cases are growing, I think it's not fair because we are managing to contain the cases. In fact, of those 31 people that I have told you, the majority of them, if not all, have been cured and they are now safe. They are now even doing their daily calls at home. Is that a cumulative figure that we say each case that we have attended to and confirmed as a type of case, when we report it as part of the cumulative figure?
We understand that there are two cases that were noticed at Merrick. What are you doing to make sure that it is contained?
What we are doing is we are increasing our education campaigns even at Merrick, and we are visiting the area to educate the people at Merrick, to inspect their toilets, to inspect the way they handle their food, and all the other open-air venues in Harare.
That was Harare City Council spokesman Michael Chideme on the phone from Harare with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
And in sports news, it was a weekend of celebration for some and mourning for others. Reporter Michael Kariati tells us why.
First to fall was Dynamo's chairman Kenimba Iwa, who for the second time running lost the Premier Soccer League Championship in an election that was conducted by the Zimbabwe Football Association Saturday. Mubaiwa, who in 2014 lost to Twine Piri by 12-3, was this time once again on the losing end after falling to Highlanders Peter Dube by 11-4. Dube, who hold fought until 2018, and the boss of boss said he's going to continue the program they set out to achieve before Piri was ousted by the Zimbabwe Football Association 2 months ago.
I feel honored. There is work to be done, not only for the Premier Soccer League, but for football in general.
The losing candidate, Kenimba Iwa, said he would also contest the chairmanship when the post becomes vacant in 2018.
I find that it's only two each time the elections are done. Last time it was me and Piri, and today it's me and Peter Dube. With me, I'll not stop. I'll keep on soldiering.
The chairman of the Premier Soccer League is the leader of the Top Flight Football League and also sits on the all-powerful Zimbabwe Football Association board that is led by Philip Chiangwa. Dube also had another cause for celebration after his club sailed through to the semi-finals of the Zimbabwe National Army Charity Shield after a 4-2 penalty shootout win over Blawai rivals Chicken Inn. The two teams had ended 1-0 in regulation time. Highlanders now join Harare City, FC Platinum and ZPC Kariba in the semi-finals. Harare City, on their part, fielded a predominantly second-string side, but were still good enough for the green machine of Capes United. On the other hand, Capes United coach Lloyd Tshepo was wearing a brave face, saying the Zimbabwe National Army Tournament is one of those games they are using to prepare for the start of the 2016 Castle Lager Premier Soccer League program. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when our hosts of the Youth Connection will be talking with listeners and experts about International Women's Day.
Now to recap on today's top stories.
The world commemorated International Women's Day with indications that local women are still struggling to occupy top posts in government and other sectors.
And a top ZANU-PF official has dismissed as misleading reports that he has been suspended from the party's youth league.
The High Court has granted an order authorizing the family of missing pro-democracy activist Itai Dzamara to hold a peaceful march tomorrow.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. I leave you in the capable hands of Chris Gande. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye saying good night and have a happy Women's Day.